So the word I have just this evening, and it's kind of the word, the same word I had for Heart and Boss, but I felt the Lord say, doesn't matter, I want you to do it. And I'm going to, just as I share it, there's going to be a different flavor to this, because I do witness with what God's doing here. And I can read the Holy Spirit sometimes. I hear what He's saying, and I kind of flow with that. And so I'm going to share just on two commandments that Jesus gives us. And how many of you know Jesus also gives commandments? So often we all remember the Ten Commandments. So we all remember those commandments, but who knows how many commandments Jesus gave? Does any of you know? I was trying to look it up and Googling it and looking at commentaries. Actually, there were quite a lot of commands that Jesus gave, and some guys even say up to 50 commands. I don't know. I haven't found the right, because there's various things being said about the commands. And so, but who knows some of the commands that Jesus has given us? Feed my sheep. He came prepared because He was at Heart and Boss. Who knows other commands that Jesus has given? Repent. Love one another. What's your what? Love one another. Cool. Come on, there was 50. Come, guys. Yeah, 50. We've only done three. Let the children come to me. Yeah. Yeah, let me give you some. Repent, yes. Let not your hearts be troubled. Follow me. Rejoice. Let your light shine. Honor God's law. Be reconciled. Do not commit adultery. Keep your word. Go the second mile. Love your enemies. Be holy. These are the commands that this is the thing. Hey, would you agree with me? It's good to know the Ten Commandments, but it's better to know the commands that Jesus gave. So actually, we should learn them. We should know them. It should actually be just at the, you know, coming out of our lips, really, because, I mean, this is the Word of God talking to His people. And but I want to share, I'm going to be talking about the authority. My message this evening is the authority to love. And, you know, we don't kind of associate love and authority normally in the same sentence. And I'm going to explain and define that a bit more to you and as we just go through it. But, you know, one of the things I've realized, the command that Jesus gives us is so important. But Jesus knew, you know, these commands that Jesus gave us as we go, they're quite, would you agree with me? There's a sense in which when Jesus says, the law says this, but I say this. And it's kind of like Jesus lifts up the law even higher. And it's like, well, I thought it was there, but actually it's here. But the difference is, and this is as it was coming out this evening, is that God wants you to come into the throne. It's like He wants you to succeed. Unlike the law, okay, God brought the law, but the law could do nothing to actually empower you to do. Okay, and that's the difference. And that's why Jesus condemned the Pharisees. He says, you put these heavy burdens on people that you yourself can't even lift. And so in a sense, the law kind of made us not only powerless, but we felt condemned all the time. See it up at the back of our heads going, you fail, you fail, you fail. And we know the law was hectic. I mean, so you take, let's take the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath day holy, you know. It's one of the commands. But then what the man did is they built volumes upon volumes of books of what it meant to keep that Sabbath day holy. So it was kind of a mission just to do that, you know. And to give you an illustration, I remember one of the Sabbath days of keeping it holy was, so they would give you different scenarios of what that could happen, how it could look. And one of the scenarios is a flashlight. Yeah. Can we switch that one off? It's distracting. Yeah. I'm not in a disco. But one of the scenarios that that was given, that, and this is just to keep the Sabbath day holy, was they would say, if a bird happens to go under your skirt, yeah, in those days they wore, you know, and if a bird happens to come under your skirt and it gets caught in there, you're not allowed to lift up your skirt and let it fly out. Now, this is a law. This is in the law. It says you've got to wait until the sun sets and goes out. Then slowly you can lift up your skirt a little and allow it to fly. I mean, come on. And so we talk about volumes upon volumes of books of what it meant to keep the Sabbath day holy. And so it kind of was this heavy burden, you know. But But Jesus, when he gave the commands, it's not to be a burden, it's to set you free. And he says, but this is the beautiful thing, is when Jesus gives the command, he's giving it to you because he knows he wants you to succeed, and you will succeed in it through his Spirit. And that's why in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. And then he says this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So it's like Jesus saying, listen, I'm going to give you a command. Yes, it's even greater than the Ten Commandments and all the Old Testament laws, but I'm going to give you a law that's going to empower you to do it. I'm going to give you a helper, and he's going to enable you to do it, that you can do it. See, God doesn't want us to not succeed. He wants us to succeed in living out the laws that he gives. And the laws that he gives sets us free. It makes us live in wholeness in who he is. And we all know the things, like other laws that Jesus gave was what? We all know the Great Commission. Hey, we know that one. And the Great Commission is in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. What is that? We all know that one? Oh, you got it there. Oh, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. There is a law, there is an authority that Jesus is saying, I'm giving you an authority. He has the command, but I'm giving you authority to fulfill that command. You and I, we couldn't go and make disciples if Jesus didn't give us the authority to do that. That's why he said to his disciples, wait for me in Jerusalem, and I will clothe you from an eye so that you can go and be my witnesses. But he told them to wait. So there was authority through the Holy Spirit that they were waiting for. Okay, you guys with me? So God always, when Jesus gives a command, he gives the authority to go with it. And so we've got authority, in a sense, out there in advancing the kingdom. What other authority do we have in Christ? Come, name some. Authority to do what? Pray for the sick. Pray for the sick to be healed. What other authority do we have? Ugh, my hearing's going, sorry. Cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Cast, as we read, authority to go make disciples. Authority to baptize people. You know, authority to set people free. It's actually God doing the work, but he's given us the authority, and I've seen it. And it's a beautiful thing. And we've had recently with Ewan McCrae coming here, we've kind of exercised a lot of the authority of deliverance, haven't we? It's like a muscle that we haven't exercised, and so it awakens us, and we mustn't let that muscle go back to, the deliverance thing. Yes, we call to counsel and help, but keep that thing active in the back of your mind. I've also got the Holy Spirit to help me with this. To help set people free. And so as much as there's an authority that Jesus gives us out there to go and make disciples and to baptize people and heal the sick and raise the dead, that's in a sense an external authority. But Jesus has also given us authority in our own hearts. And I'm going to explain a bit in that, because there's an external authority. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness." Where? In the heavenly places. So would you agree with me? There's an external authority that Jesus gives us out there. Because remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. There's dominions and there's authorities, strongholds in the spirits that's there. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you authority for that out there. Okay? But he's also given us authority in here, in our very hearts. And it's one thing to go out and take the authority out there, but I want to talk about the authority in here. And Luke 17, 20, because often we look at the authority out there and we think, yo, we're advancing the kingdom and the kingdom's going forward, but we don't see what's not happening here and here. Luke 17, 20, it says, "The kingdom of God," listen to this, Jesus talking again, "will not come with observing signs," with observation. Kingdom of God will not come through observation. Would you agree with me? Casting out the demon can be an observation. You can see it. I've seen people that have manifest, through the demonic. It's been, sometimes there's screams and there's shouts. People getting healed, that's a manifestation. You can see it. All those things can be external, but they can be seen. But Jesus is saying that's not how the kingdom comes. hear what he says. And then he says, verse 21, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So there's a sense in which, yes, there's an obedience and authority to go make disciples, which is what we're called to do. And I'm not anyway diminishing that authority. That is so important that we do that. But sometimes we neglect the authority that we have over our own hearts and our own minds. And that's kind of what I want to share on this evening. You know, we can cast off sin out there, but what about in here? And so Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to do these things. And in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5, it says, we need to cast down arguments. Now, that word arguments is logismos. It's imaginations. It's speculations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, it's one thing to take dominion out there and take authority over there. But inside of us, that word that it says, logismos, that imagination. Sometimes when we're working through relationships and issues, sometimes there's an imagination, there's a thought. And it comes from our brokenness. Hey? It comes through our lens. It comes through all these things. And we think a certain way. And let's say a brother says something and we get offended or hurt. We can allow that imagination to grow. We can kind of ponder, I wonder what he meant by that. What did he say? Why did he say that, what he said? You know, and you kind of ponder on it and you can think and you can meditate and you can allow this thing to grow. And the thing is, it's saying we need to cast down those things, those arguments, those thoughts, and bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. Take authority over those thoughts. One thing to have authority out there. What about authority here and here? And Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked. The problem with the heart, it wants to run wild. It wants your thoughts to just take away and bring division. It wants you to take ownership of who you are and forget about everybody else. It's all about your authority, but it's actually allowing Jesus to take authority in your heart. That's the key. And so just in line with that, we have to sanctify our hearts. And so, you know, it's one thing to have the command of going to make disciples. It's another thing to have the command of going and being a disciple. You know, going out and making disciples, it's really using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow with you. And, you know, but to go and be a disciple means I have to sit under this thing called submission, under this thing of leadership, under this thing of church, under this thing of submitting one to another, as, you know, like, because we're doing it for Jesus. And submitting our heart is sometimes a harder thing. Would you agree with me? Or am I the only one who has that? And so my message is taking authority, having the authority to love. And I want to talk about this command that Jesus gives us. And it's as much as a supernatural thing, Stephen. It is a supernatural command that Jesus gives us. But I want to quickly just find it. So Jesus gives us a new command. And this is the command I want to talk about. That's so important. In John 13:34, it says, a new command that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. Now, Jesus has given us, like I said, when he gives you a command, he's going to give you authority to fulfill that command. Otherwise, what's the point? We're going to all walk away disappointed. We're all going to walk away condemned if he hasn't empowered us to do it. And I want to say this is something supernatural. But I want to kind of focus a bit on this because, you know, when Jesus said, a new command I give you, it's important that we understand that because he says, by you living out this command that you love me and you love one another is going to be the testimony of who you are. It's going to be the testimony that you, my disciples, it's going to be a testimony that you are the church that's reflecting me. So if you're not living in this love, you're not reflecting him. You're not being a true witness, is what he's saying. Because by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Not that you have amazing worship, and I love worship, Stephen, you guys did really well. You've really taken like worship up a level. Well done. And the team, Jamie, appreciate you guys. But that doesn't define whether you're his disciples. Even the gifts and the prophetic words are all important and they're needful, but they don't define whether we are a testimony of him. It says that we love one another. That's the testimony. And by this all will know that you are mine. That's an amazing piece of scripture that Jesus has given us. And you know, often you might say, well, Benny, there's certain people, I don't know if you have it, there's certain people I've got issues with. There's certain people I just don't gel with. You know, I was reading the scripture where it talks about in 1 John 4:20, it says, anyone says I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now you might say, Benny, well, I don't really hate them. That's a strong word. let's put that word out. But then I want to ask you, if we read that scripture now, the new command I give you, he says, love one another as I have loved you. So the question is, okay, you're not hating him like that scripture says, but are you loving them as Christ loves us? And so that kind of levels the playing field. I mean, you might say, well, I don't hate them, but I'll give them a cold shoulder. I don't hate them, but if they happen to be walking at the mall and I see them, I'm going to turn this way and go that way, you know. So I can have a bit of avoidance. Or I don't have to talk with them as long as I talk to other people normally because, you know what, I just don't gel with you. I want to say you're not living under the authority of the command of Jesus. You know what I'm saying, church? If you're not living in that, if there's slight niggles in the sense that you don't bond in the sense of the unity that he's given you to love your brothers, you're not living under the authority of Jesus. Now, I'm going to explain something quite now in just in line with this, because sometimes we have a false perception that because we're doing the thing, and we've been encouraging you lately to be participators, haven't we? Been encouraging the church to rise up, take your gifting, be the priesthood of believers, fulfill your gifts, fulfill your ministry. Do what God has given you to do, and that is important. But don't define that by how spiritually mature you are. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, so though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm becoming a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Sure, it's hectic. And we can be deceived, hey? It's so easy to be deceived because the Holy Spirit will still allow that gift. The Bible talks about the gifts are irrevocable. So it doesn't matter, even if you're a sinner, the Holy Spirit will still flow through you. I don't know why God does that, but he does. And sometimes that can be a deceptive thing for us in our own hearts. Well, we think, oh, God, you're still working through me, so I'm okay. But how's your heart towards the people whom you're ministering? Not just about your ministry. And so let's look at this. Jesus gives us a new command, and with that new command comes a new authority. But is this a new command? Because I see it in Leviticus 19:18. And you got that scripture, Joel. Jesus says, you shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the children. No, that's not the scripture. Is it? 19:18. That is. Sorry, I want to find the one that says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is it? Oh, is it at the bottom? Sorry, I'm cutting ahead of myself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So there's a scripture. And now just to follow up on that, you know, Jesus, but basically the scribes and the Pharisees, they come to Jesus. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, what's the greatest command? And Jesus requotes Leviticus, and he goes back to that, and that's in Mark 12, verses 30 to 31. And he says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first command, and the second is like this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commands greater than these. And, you know, just in line with that, one of the things you can ask, isn't if Jesus is requoting that scripture to the scribes of the Pharisees, the command that he gives, love one another as I have loved you, is that really a new command? And I want to say, yes, it is. And I'm going to explain why. Because Jesus is requoting there Leviticus, and he's saying to all the Old Testament guys, listen, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a limit to how you love your neighbor. You know that. It's conditioned on you, how you love that person. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a new command. And it's new because it's not based on you. because you got flaws, you got cracks. Everybody in the Old Testament couldn't love the way you and I can love. They couldn't, because there's a degree to which they can love, and it's within them, really. And so I want to quickly look at this, because there is a difference between the two. Jesus, you know, if we go to Leviticus, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? So would you agree, if we take the word as, that's a preposition. For your Afrikaans people, it's a voorsetsel. Okay. I'm good, eh? I took that with me when I went to Hartenbos. It's a voorsetsel. The word is soos. As is soos. So the one, the soos is on me, and the other soos is on God. Love as he loved, or love as you love. And so the one is going to have a condition, in a sense, of how much, how limited. But the new one, the new command that Jesus gives, is a command that's based on him. And that's what makes it new. And so the Old Testament, they couldn't do that. But let me go, just before I go there, you know, we've had teachings, and I've heard people say this, and maybe you've had a mindset like this, and I've heard this lots. People say, you know, you first got to learn to love yourself before you can love others. Who's heard that? I don't know if I believe that. You can challenge me afterwards. I don't have a problem. But I'll say why I don't believe that. We often look at that command that Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Where is the emphasis of that command? Is it loving your neighbor or loving yourself? Loving your neighbor. So Jesus is not telling you, please, I want you to first love yourself and then go and you'll love your neighbor. Because when you get that right, man, you can love him well. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is saying you already love yourself. He's taking that and he says, look, the way you love yourself, the way you care for yourself, the way you feed yourself, you clothe yourself, you take yourself on holidays, you put jewelry on yourself, you look after yourself, the way you do that, I want you to do it for your neighbor. That's what he's saying. The emphasis is not on loving yourself first. He's saying you already do that, but the way you do that, I want you to do that towards your neighbor. Okay, it's a subtle difference, but I want you to see this, because if you don't believe this, you're going to have a contradiction with Scripture. Because when Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:2, and he warns us in the last days, he says, people will be lovers of themselves. So if your theory is, man, we first got to love ourselves first well and good, and then we can love others, then you got a problem with that scripture. Because Paul is warning Timothy, he says, the problem with man is that they're going to love themselves too much. And from that place of loving yourself, you're going to be boastful, you're going to be proud, you're going to be arrogant. That's what follows the fruit of that in 2 Timothy. And so, can I say, the enemy, I don't want to say this, the enemy of us loving one another, sometimes we look at love and we think the opposite of love is hate. I want to say it's not. The opposite of love is self-love. That's why I don't agree with that script when people preach from that place and say, you first got to love yourself. Totally contradiction to Scripture. But I want to say this, so I'm not taking away from you. I'm actually going to take away, because Paul says, put no confidence in the flesh. Loving yourself is having a lot of confidence in the flesh. Paul says, I don't want you to have that, because you're not going to do the things of the Spirit if you've got confidence there. You've got to have confidence in the Spirit. So I'm taking that out, but I'm not going to leave you powerless, okay? Because I want to read Scripture that's going to empower you so that you can love the way God wants you to love. Cool. Where am I? I lost my place. That's why Romans 8:3, it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak, okay, through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. And the amazing thing is now Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to show you what love looks like. And it wasn't just him coming and dying on the cross. It's him coming, dying on the cross, and then bringing a witness through his Holy Spirit that we can know this love that he has. That we can experience it, that we can feel it, that we can just live in it. And so when Jesus came, what the Old Testament guys couldn't do, they couldn't have that love. They couldn't experience. They could only love as much as they loved themselves. And Jesus said, I'm going to take you further. I'm going to take you deeper. I'm going to take you wider, that you can love the way that they could never love. You're going to love. And in 1 John 4:9, it says this. In this love, think of it now. This is to us. In this love that God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. See, this love was made manifest only through Jesus. It wasn't made manifest before him. And so this is why Jesus has given us a new command, because he's saying, now you can see the love, now you can experience it. You get it? And Paul understood this. Paul understood this in Philippians 2, verses 1 to 8. He says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind, being of the same love. The only way we're going to be one, really one, and I'll say, I don't think we're there yet. I know we're getting there, but it's going to take by having the same love. Paul's saying that, having the same love towards one another, the way Christ came and gave us that love. And so this love is a new command. You know, it's a new command that Jesus has given us. And I want to say, today I've asked the guys, we're going to break bread together. And we're going to enjoy just the communion table as we partake of the bread, as we experience. And when we do that, it's actually partaking, breaking the bread. We're experiencing the love of Christ, what he did for us on the cross. We taste, we see, we feel, we experience. And it's like that thing in prayer and in worship that we come to the knowledge of who he is and what he's done. And it's from that place that we can even love one another. And that's why I want to say it's so important that we have communion. And it's so important that the Bible says before you actually break bread with your brother, that you make sure that you go make right with your brother. Why? Because he's saying that if you understand that love, then you should be able to express it. And so part of that breaking the bread is saying, I'm experiencing Jesus, and I want to give that to you. I want to break that with you and say, I love you the same. Same way I love him, I'm loving you. And so that breaking of bread is bringing a knitting of the hearts that we're one in mind, one in spirit. And it's such a beautiful remembrance that Jesus has given us of the communion table, that we can live in this. And so it kind of forces us, and I want to say, don't take the communion table if your heart's not right with a brother. The Bible says if you do that, you're putting judgment on yourself. Heavy. Jesus said that. Paul said that. Some people eat and they've had the communion table, and there's even death that's happened because of that. That they haven't experienced the love of Christ, and yet they're participating in that act, but actually in their hearts, they haven't submitted to the authority of Christ. And so I know this is a supernatural thing. I know that all of us here, and if you're new to the church, just give it time, but there's going to come a moment where you will be offended, even here among us. There's going to be a time where you're going to be hurt. But I want to say you have the authority to cast that argument down. You have the authority to die to yourself. You have the authority that Christ has given you, that it's no longer about you. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ living in me. Lauren had this scripture, and can you share it? Okay, give it to me. And we were traveling in the car, and we were just talking about God's love, and this is one of the things that came up, and it kind of hit me again. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 16, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves. You hear that? But for him who died for them and was raised again. So, now listen to this, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. You know, it's like we don't regard a brother any longer according to the flesh. Angelo can't hurt me. I don't regard him according to the flesh. I look at him who he is in Christ Jesus. And he should look at the same towards me. I should love him in that way. And so, to be honest with you, the more whole you get, I promise you this, I've seen it. I remember when I first came to the church, I was broken. But as I've been in the church for long enough, I'm starting to find I get less offended. I get less hurt. I get less, what's that person thinking? Who does he think he is? I get less of those moments. Why? Because it's I'm dead. I'm not there yet. I'm still now and then. There'll be someone who'll hit me like quite. But I'm getting there. There is moments that I have to work through things. And I say, God, show me how to love that person. Because right now, I do feel hurt. I've given them everything and they've just chucked it in my face. And you have those moments. But you've got to find wholeness. Jesus, let me not regard that person according to the flesh. I'm sure there's things in the flesh that you see in me. And I'm sure there's things in the flesh that you see in one another. But that's why we've been given the authority that we don't have to regard that person according to the flesh. You guys with me? So I just felt, can we, because we're quite a small group today, I want us to break up in groups. But I want to say this, maybe there's someone here that you need to go make right with first. And so I'm not going to specify the size of groups, but keep your numbers to about 5 or 6. And just pray with one another and just come before the Lord this evening and just thanking him of his goodness. But also, I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and reveal to you of his love. That you can take the authority that Christ has given us. That he can bring a revelation again, once again, of the cross. Bring a revelation once again of his love, that he died for you. And to understand that. You know, it's that love that the Bible says when the saints together, that when we come together, the manifold wisdom of God is made known, that we can understand his love, his the depth and the height and the width and the how great is his love. And so I feel part of, as the guys just pass those communion things out, I want you to meditate. Maybe there's someone you need to make right with this evening. Maybe there's someone you've not hate, but you've got a cold shoulder, but that's not loving as Christ loves.